This is Warning Radio with Dr. Jonathan Hansen, founder and president of World Ministries International, a non-denominational end times ministry dedicated to fulfilling a divine commission to trumpet forth warnings from God concerning the imminent second coming of Christ and the impending judgment of God upon the ungodly. God has sent Dr. Hansen to many nations of the world with a solemn warning to the political and religious leaders and citizenry to repent of their sinfulness and wickedness or face the catastrophic judgments that will soon be unleashed upon the unbelieving world. Listen now to the warnings of our compassionate and merciful Creator conveyed through His faithful prophetic spokesman, the host of Warning Radio, Dr. Jonathan Hansen.
This is Jonathan Hansen. I'm the president of World Ministries International and Eagles Saving Nations. My website, worldministries.org. Check us out. You're watching from the campus of World Ministries International. We're in our chapel. It's a live audience. And this is a warning television program, as well as radio and shortwave. I want to speak today on daily Pentecost. I was just part of a five-day Holy Ghost conference. I spoke three different times. And we need to understand the importance of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, tarry. That's what Jesus said. Don't try to represent me until you're baptized. That's what he told his disciples. Yet half of the church doesn't seem to care. The other half of the church, even though they know it's real, they don't seem to be tarrying, waiting, embracing him, striving after him, chasing him, wanting him. And consequently, we're in deep trouble in America. Again, my message is daily Pentecost. We need the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 5, 17 through 19. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will, again, the key word, the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine in which dispensation, but with filled with the Spirit. In other words, you know, some people get drunk with wine, alcohol, day of Pentecost. That was some people's excuses. Oh, they're drunk. No, they were drunk in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. But be filled with the Spirit. That's what the Lord wants us to do every day. Every day in our devotions, we should be filled with the Spirit. Some people, you know, say, I was baptized 20 years ago. Well, if you have not been constantly filled with the Spirit, then you are dead. 20 years ago doesn't mean a hill of beans anymore. You got dead water, swampy water, stinky water. In other words, your life is not too effective. I doubt if we're seeing any miracles in your life. We need to be filled daily. It's a daily Pentecost. One, let the Holy Spirit have control of your life. We need to let the Holy Spirit control our life, and that starts with our tongue. On the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues and magnify God. Now, this is the first step, letting God have control of your tongue. James 3, 7 through 9. It says the tongue is the most unruly, uncontrolled part of your body, the human experience, the tongue. It causes trouble. Look at the fights people get in. Look how marriages break up. Look how churches dissolve over somebody's tongue that doesn't get controlled by God and they cause trouble. That's why God says first, thing you're going to do is get control of your tongue. Be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Nobody can control your tongue but God, the Holy Spirit. In other words, if not, your big mouth, because you're a big pride, destroys things all around you. I guess that's honest. A little blunt, but honest. Big mouth, big pride, and you cause a lot of trouble. Whenever you see conflict anywhere, somebody is not exercising the Holy Ghost. Their tongue is not under operation of the Holy Spirit. When I listen to things come out of somebody, if it's not right, I've even said, you know, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's you. That's your pride speaking. God says again, get control of your tongue. When you are filled with the Spirit, you surrender your tongue to Him. You begin to experience what it means for the power of God to come upon you. You begin to speak with tongues. You give God your tongue, because if you can't give Him your tongue, you won't give Him much else. Think about it. If we can't give Him our tongue, we're sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Oh, I'm a Christian. Yeah, but people can't tell. That's the beginning of God being with you in His manifest presence. You know, somebody that can't control his tongue, he loses their temper a lot. They crack jokes where it's not supposed to be. I mean, all sorts of things. Undermine, criticize, self-righteous spirit. To go home and roast the pastor. You need to roast your tongue. Maybe make a taco out of it. I had tongue tacos in Mexico. It was very delicious. But I'll tell you what, some people's tongue just about would be better to roast it, because they do so much damage. They damage the body of Christ. They damage people around them. They damage leadership. When you have and let God control your life and your tongue, you begin to speak with a heavenly language. You bypass your brain, because it's not coming from your brain any longer. The Bible says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue, his spirit speaks, his mind is unfruitful. You know, some people have such a big head, they can't seem to get past their head and let God control their tongue. What's a big head? Pride. 1 Corinthians 14:4. Your mind is not producing this. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew 12:34. If your head controls your tongue, you're in big trouble unless your mind is renewed. But if your new heart from God controls your tongue, you'll get out of your troubles. Ezekiel 36:26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. God can only do this, the Holy Spirit. Other than that, you become a religious scribe, a Pharisee, a Sadducee. You know, without the Spirit, the law is killing. The law was meant to bring us to God, not to destroy us or condemn us. Either your head or your heart will control your tongue. Think about this. Your every word, feeling, and action is empowered by God's love. It is that love that overcomes thoughts of hate, feelings of fear, and actions that hurt instead of heal. It's the love that overcomes your thoughts of hate. Next time your spouse gets too feisty, look at that spouse and say, I love you. Now just love me back and everything is good. Amen? Is that what you did, Sharon?
Yep.
You bet. You were the feisty one. Okay. But love prevailed, because you and Dan had a wonderful life. Love prevailed. Let love rule. 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Again, 1 John 4:7-8. How do you know they're my disciples? By their love. Not by their debate. Not by their anger. Not by their temper. These things turn people off. They don't even think you're a Christian. To let love rule your life. Once you've given Him control of your life, starting with your tongue, the next thing that you and I must do is let love rule your life. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 13:14, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit. You see how these work together? Grace, love, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit can't flow through you if you don't let love flow through you. Love will let you forgive. If you don't forgive, it blocks the Holy Spirit. I gave my testimony many times. You've got to forgive. The word communion means to fellowship and partner with the Holy Spirit. You know, if you want to walk with the Holy Spirit, partner with Him in life, and let Him work through Him in you, Supernaturally, you must be more compatible with God. The more compatible we are with God, the more He flows through us, and the more we become as God. The more people see Jesus in us. Why? Because God is love. So how do you become more compatible with God? You walk in love, you love your neighbor as you love yourself. Not too many people hate themselves, really, do you? Not too many. Don't you want mercy and grace? Don't you want people to forgive you instantly? Don't you want people to love you? Or do you want them just criticizing and yelling at you? Well, give it to other people too. Give what you want. You want love, forgiveness, kindness, patience. You want them to love you even if you're cranky? Well, love them when they're cranky. Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Spirit of God. Do not grieve, actually the wording is the Holy Spirit of God. If you're walking in love, you're not grieving the Spirit of God. He wants to have fellowship with you, commune with you, partner with you. He wants to work with you, manifesting God's power in your life. That's what the Holy Spirit wants. When He works through you supernaturally, this is how no weapon formed against you can prosper, because you have the greatest weapon. Think about that. These things aren't automatic. We pray in our prayer meeting last night. Somebody said, let's pray that the devil doesn't steal our whatever. Well, the devil can't steal it. You got to give it up. You give it up by just not walking in the truth of God. You give it up. He can't steal nothing away from you that you maintain. He can't keep my power, my authority, my relationship, nothing, my victory. Now, you can give it up by not obeying the Word of God. And like last week, I said, hey, garrison, take control, take thought, take action, remove aggressively every negative thought. Don't tolerate it. But if you do, you're giving up your victory. Ephesians 4:32 through 5:2, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators as dear children. Walk in love as Christ has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Again, Ephesians 4:32 through 5:2. A sweet-smelling aroma. Don't you want that in your home? Don't you want to wake up every morning, look at your spouse? Oh, you're a sweet-smelling aroma. You don't want to look at your spouse and get beat over the head with words and, man, don't you want to look at a sweet-smelling aroma? Or do you like a cactus, a stinkweed? Hello. You know, some flowers are a stinkweed. I've got a lady in here that raises flowers. Don't you want a sweet-smelling aroma? Come on. Well, I sure do. I want a sweet-smelling aroma. You believe that? You betcha. You want shanty as a sweet-smelling aroma, right? You bet you do. Every man does. I look at EJ back there. He wants Karen to be a sweet-smelling aroma. Amen. Okay. We imitate God when we're kind and tender-hearted and forgiving. Then we imitate God. This is how God treats us. We must learn to let the love rule in our hearts and minds. I call that fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. If you're going to get along with the Holy Spirit, then you must be like Him. In order for my wife and I to get along, we have to have significant areas of compatibility, or we don't have fellowship. How can two walk together unless they agree? Amos 3:3. So to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, we walk in love and we grow in oneness and intimacy with Him. That's how we do it. People who walk in love are very sensitive to the Holy Spirit because God is love. Is this making sense? Daily Pentecost. We daily keep these principles alive, and we daily move with the Holy Spirit. We daily have victory. We daily are a sweet aroma. Everything is good, not negative or bad. 3, let His river flow. Let His river flow. The last thing you must do is let Him flow. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, His river flows. His river flows. He's going to come upon you with the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. These are the manifestations of the Spirit. He wants to manifest himself for a purpose. For a purpose. Jesus said in Matthew 22, 37 through 40, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is, you will love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Jude 20 through 21, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourself in the love of God. Okay, that's what we just read. As you love your God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself, you're praying in the Spirit because you're staying in the love of God. Then the river can flow. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person to profit them. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each individually as he wills." In other words, as a person covets and desires them and make themselves ready, God wants to give them to you. But you got to cover up. You got to seek after them. You got to tarry. This is what the movers and shakers did. There is nothing they wouldn't do to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Nothing. You know, it's simple, but it's profound. There is a price paid. We sacrifice time, for one. The more you want to draw near to God, it takes some time. Any relationship takes time. God is at work in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure and purposes. So when the Spirit comes upon you and manifests Himself, you have to let Him flow. Let Him flow. I remember Dr. Ziga at the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost Conference. Again, we attended it for 5 days. Different speakers. I spoke 3 times, but I remember at one time he was going to end the service and he said, "God told me to keep going." The next day was Sunday morning. A lot of people might affect their getting up to go to church, but he says, "God told me, hey, we need to move with the Holy Spirit tonight." And another hour, people were ministered to. That's being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That's letting God do what God wanted. A lot of times we cut off the Holy Spirit, whether it's even to go to your neighbor and talk to them. You cut it off. Oh, no. What will they think? Well, did God just tell you to talk to them? Then don't worry about what they think. See, we always cut off God because we know better. That's why people change the Word of God. They twist it around so people can receive it better, but then there's no more conviction. And on Judgment Day, you think God's going to be happy that you twisted His word around so people could receive it, but they're in their sin and they're not even in heaven? I don't think He's going to be very happy with you. Because you knew more than God. Let's twist it around a little bit. Then it's received better. But if there's no conviction, it doesn't do its divine purpose of eternal life. We've got to be careful how we judge the Holy Spirit. And the Word of God is the Holy Spirit documented in written form. We've got to be careful. Can you imagine what kind of life you can have when no weapon formed against you can prosper? Whatever the devil brings, you're going to deal with it with your partner, who is the Holy Spirit. I could tell you testimonies of dealing with the Holy Spirit. Doctor said I would die if I didn't get an operation, yet the Holy Spirit said no. If you don't take an operation, you'll be dead by morning. You're bleeding to death. And the Holy Spirit said no. You had to be close to God to hear the Holy Spirit, and close to God to obey the Holy Spirit over your doctor who's born again and a surgeon over 30 hospitals. You'll be dead, John, by morning. The Holy Spirit said no. He had a shot. He said, "I'll give this to you. It'll knock you out. You'll never wake up. You will bleed to death." I said, "Give it to me. Lay hands on me. Pray." He gave it to me and knocked me out 2 days. I did wake up. I was healed. The point is, can you hear the Holy Spirit, and are you close enough then to obey? Because the doctor said you'd be dead by morning. Now, I'm not bragging. I'm just saying we can get that intimate with God where you can obey Him against a doctor. And I wouldn't normally go against a doctor, but I heard from God. You can get close to the Holy Spirit that way. But you're going to be spending a lot of time with God daily. It just doesn't happen. I'll tell you what. We need to understand the beauty of the Holy Spirit and the power of God and the intimacy that we can have. This is what I'm talking about, a daily Pentecost. We have a daily time with God. That can solve our problems in life as far as relationships, especially if both partners are the same way. God wants us to instantly forgive. He doesn't want you to not forgive for 2 or 3 days and, you know, people around you are miserable. Let me ask you, what is hindering the Spirit's flow in your life? Is there anything hindering it? Will you repent of every hindrance and allow Him to have His way in and through you? The Spirit's river flowing through you not only empowers you like a hydroelectric dam producing electricity, His river cleanses you and washes away every impurity in your life. There's a song that says, "Flow, river, flow. Flow, river, flow." Tell you, if you're muddy, if you're dirty, and there's a river and it's flowing and it's clean. If you were in the bush somewhere, you didn't have modern conveniences of a shower, you would get into that river and you would feel so clean and refreshed. And you'd get out of it just ready to go. I remember years ago, my brother and I, this is when we were young men, we were going through, not Yellowstone Park, but the other park in the Northwest, Glacier. And it was still a lot of ice. And I remember as we were driving, we saw a pond, you know, a fairly big body of water with a good size rock boulder, and there was a hole in the ice, a fairly big hole, maybe 20 yards by 20 yards. And my brother and I looked at each other. I stopped the truck I was driving with a camper on it. We ran out, pulled off our clothes, dived in, came out. We were red as could be, but boy, did we feel good. Cold, refreshed, energized. We jumped in the river. We took advantage of the situation. Take advantage of the situation. You have daily times to take advantage of times with God. Like I said, we just took advantage, most of the people, of a 5-day Holy Ghost conference. And how refreshing it was. Everybody needed it. Everybody needed it. I need it. Everybody needed it. Because we need one another. Again, the body of Christ needs one another. There's corporate anointing. There's corporate breakthrough. There's when you're under the anointing of men and women of God, and the Holy Spirit is flowing. I remember somebody, one of our staff, coming up to my wife. My wife was sitting with me on the platform. She came up and hugged her, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came upon both of them, and my wife swung around like electricity. Her hand flew. My glasses flew off as the Holy Spirit electrical power flew through her life. And they were both on the ground. And I was happy, although I wanted to make sure my glasses weren't broken. Somebody found my glasses and says, "Oh, Dr. Hansen, I think these are yours." I said, "Thank you. I was looking for them." But I was happy, because the power of God was so strong, and people, just like electricity or jumping in that cold, icy water, they were so refreshed. Everybody was refreshed that went to those 5 days of conferences. And there's still the Holy Spirit refreshing us, and people are changed. Everybody would say they're changed who went there. Now life becomes exciting and victorious. As you flow in the river of the empowering Holy Spirit, you will discover that no weapon formed against you can penetrate your shield of faith. See, that's the key. As you flow daily. I said this is, that message was a daily Pentecost. As you flow daily with the empowering Holy Spirit, no weapon formed against you can penetrate your shield of faith. Isn't that good? Amen? 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 As you flow daily. Let the river flow, ladies and gentlemen. Let it flow in your life. Let the Holy Spirit have control of your life. Let love rule your life. Let His river flow. Let His river flow. God bless you. WorldMinistries.org, WorldMinistries.org. If you've enjoyed this program, join us. Give your best offering so we can stay on your television program. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Warning Radio with Dr. Jonathan Hansen, founder and president of World Ministries International. Warning Radio is a listener-supported program. We need your donations in order to continue airing these Christ-centered prophetic programs. Send your checks or money orders to World Ministries International, Post Office Box 277, Stanwood, Washington, 98292. To donate securely by phone, call 360-629-5248. Visit our website to find other ways of giving and a wealth of information about World Ministries International and host Dr. Jonathan Hansen. The website is worldministries.org. There, you'll also have access to hundreds of previously aired radio programs, made for television videos, thousands of articles, Dr. Hansen's books, and travel itinerary. Again, the website is worldministries.org. The phone number is 360-629-5248. Tune in at this same time, Monday through Friday, on this radio station for the next exciting edition of Warning Radio with Dr. Jonathan Hansen. Remember, the Lord is not slow about the promise of His return, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for everyone to come to the repentance that leads to eternal life.